Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hello, welcome to the Steve Jones Show. Tuesday, Steve Jones Show from the Sunbury Motors Studio, North 4th Street, Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf, where this week they have been kind enough.
Yes, and on top of everything else, we have the Kevin Herr Topics of the Day.
Where this week, Sunbury Motors has been kind enough to let me drive the 2015 Kia Optima Hybrid. And there's only two of them. I think there's two of them right now available for 2015, the Kia Optima Hybrid LX, that were test drive vehicles. So they're going to knock about $6,000 off the sticker price. And there's a 2014 available, too, that is nicely equipped, including a backup camera and several other fantastic little features. That is marked down another $7,000 to $21,357. So if you'd like to get into a hybrid vehicle and see gas mileage in the upper 30s, 40, and even higher, then you need to check out the 2014 Kia Optima Hybrid or the 2015 Kia Optima Hybrids test drive vehicles that you can get right now at Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf, for a very discounted price. How are you, sir?
Yes. Tremendous. Let's get to the Kevin Herr Topics of the Day.
Topics du jour, for those that like the French pronunciations.
I still maintain this segment should be sold.
It's that good, where, I know.
Where Kevin comes up with a series of topics that he's been mulling over in his mind. Topic number one. Should IndyCar be America's number one sport?
It's not on the list.
It's right here.
It is not on the list. I don't know what list you're looking at. That is not on the list.
Number two.
Very good question, by the way, but not on the list.
Should the Steelers ever wear Bumblebee uniforms again?
Well, I would not have put that. Yeah, I would not have put that on the list because we know the answer. It's no.
It's number two that you put on there. Aaron Nola. Is he the savior that turns the season around?
Again, answer there is easy. No, I didn't. I didn't put that one on the list either because I already know the answer.
He wrote this to me. They're all bad topics. He says I can't be good every day.
I'm like, not everything can be gold, man.
These are good. All right, here's the ones he actually wrote me. Roger Goodell, why there's no timeline in the Brady ruling. We'll get to that in a minute. That's a big topic. Jimbo Fisher takes responsibility for FSU's issues recently. That's actually an easy one to address. And then, of course, we discussed revenue sharing in the NFL yesterday. It's just the difference between yesterday's topic, where I went extensively into it, is the fact that today we have numbers to back it up. Remember, you and I did an entire two segments yesterday on NFL revenue sharing. And I went into the $5.2 billion just in TV money. But when you add in direct TV money and...
And what did we see yesterday? Direct TV was another $4 billion? Another $4 or $5 billion, something like that.
Over the term of the contract. Per year, revenue sharing adds up to $7.2 billion. That's per year. Because yesterday, the Packers are a public trust, which they have shareholders. So they are obligated to put out every day what their shares happen to be. They have to put out their numbers. That's how everybody knows what the other teams get. Well, yesterday came out $226.4 million. Now, the $226.4 million is before the Packers have sold a parking space. It's before the Packers have sold a nifty T-shirt in the gift shop. The $226.4 million is before they've even sold a ticket or a luxury suite. Now, they have other revenue that's their own that came in at $149 million. It should be pointed out that the Packers are taking $55 million and they're putting it into refurbishing the luxury suites up there, which are older now, and they did add 7,000 seats last year. The Packers have the second largest stadium in the NFL at 80,000 seats. They're number two. $226 million. Remember, the NBA just went from a $930 million a year TV contract to the new TV contract that starts next year that is in the neighborhood of $2.6 billion per year. The NFL TV contracts, the base TV contracts, are $5.2 billion a year. Those same TV contracts were worth in 2005, $2 billion a year. They've gone from $2 billion a year to $5.2 billion. And you're selling tickets to your season ticket holders and their package for preseason games? Really? Really? You have to start really zeroing in and locking in on the fan. Because what makes those games great on television? It's the game itself and the excitement the crowd brings through the TV set into your room, where they give you that edge of the seat feeling. I don't ever want to lose that. I'd rather see every seat taken in a stadium or an arena for less money than to charge out the backside and have empty seats. I'd rather have the stadium or the arena filled. Fans who want to buy tickets to games, because you're already paying for games anyway, when you have your cable package, ESPN's the single most expensive cable channel that you have. And you also are paying for, in small measure, BTN, Golf Channel, NBC Sportsnet, so you can get your IndyCar fix, MLB Network, TNT, Turner, you know, plus there are over-the-air sports on CBS, NBC, and ABC. As a sports fan, you're paying enough already every single day in your cable bill, every single month in your cable bill to see the sports that you want to see. For example, Aaron Nola is going to start tonight for the Phillies. Well, as a Phillies fan, the vast majority, you should be able to watch that game. It's on your cable. I know it's a start I'd like to see tonight. And that's a big one. The Goodell thing I want to get into, and I'm going to need the 4 o'clock hour to do that, about Brady.
It's not a simple
because,
one.
But that's the problem, Kevin. It is a simple one. What the heck is taking him so long? Why is this entire process taking so long? Okay, it should have been solved before the Super Bowl. You're making $46 million a year. Okay, let's examine your job at the moment. Your TV contract is settled through 2021. Check. Okay? Your labor agreement is settled. Check. You move the extra point back to the 15-yard line. Check. Okay, you got plenty of time now to zero in on the Brady thing. As soon as you can explain to me why Brady's suspension is the same as Greg Hardy's and why it's twice as long as what Ray Rice's original suspension is, now I think we have a conversation. What was your other topic there? IndyCar.
No, it was not IndyCar.
Why does it exist? That's a good question, actually.
You know, and to be fair...
Jimbo Fisher taking responsibility.
Yeah.
Jimbo Fisher's just doing what a leader does in that realm. I think his discipline at times is not matched at times. He has not done a very good job of disciplining his players over time. Just hasn't. And I think that's caused multiple problems. But as a leader, I give him credit for saying, hey, look, guess what? I'll take responsibility for this. This is on me. And it takes the pressure off the players, takes the pressure off the administration. He's the national championship coach from 2 years ago, and he throws it on himself. How many times, just in a game realm, did we hear Joe Paterno say, hey, look, you know what? Lousy coaching. I did a lousy job. Wouldn't blame his staff, wouldn't blame his kids. Now, he may have been mad at his kids. He may have been mad at his staff. He may have felt, you know, but that's to be kept in-house behind closed doors when he speaks with them. But as a team guy and the leader of the team, Joe, after a game, would throw the responsibility upon himself and take the pressure off others. He had the security to do that. He was secure in himself, secure in his position, and so forth. That's why, you know, he did that, because, you know, the corrections would be made behind closed doors. Any yelling about what happened would be done behind closed doors, and it was between him and them. In public, he would have their backs. Jimbo Fisher is attempting to do the same thing, where he has the back of the administration, he has the back of the athletic director, and he has the back of his players by saying, look, look at me, I'm responsible. Okay? Good leaders do that, but then once the door is shut, then they handle it. But they take the public pressure off of others when they do it.
And I agree with you. I think this is the right thing for him to do. The only thing I have a problem with is I don't think he's done enough, at least publicly, to avoid these things from happening again and again and again, or similar situations.
I agree with you, except I will say this. I am no fan of what Florida State has done and so forth. You know, I'm no fan at all of what Jameis Winston has done and others along the way. There have been two awful incidents again, that, you know, one involving a quarterback, one involving a running back. I understand that. But at the same time, Kevin, it's really difficult to you know, unless you have chaperones with 125 guys 24/7, it's really difficult to keep, quote, everybody out of trouble.
Especially in the off season. I understand that.
Even in season it is. I mean, look, you know, you're mandated to give them a day off. You're mandated to give them a day off. So, yeah, you can have them. You can't chaperone them at class. You can't chaperone them on a Saturday night after the game. You can't. I mean, there's only a certain amount of time you're allowed to be with them. And you hope that in the recruiting process, you've identified guys that are solid citizens, come from solid families, aren't easily influenced, and that's not easy to find that. Sunbury Motor Studio, by the way, obviously had some sort of mini flood.
What?
I know.
That was completely off the wall there. What happened?
No, I've been staring at it now for 15 minutes. So I've got to clean it up. I don't know. I'm guessing it's not from the ceiling. I'm guessing it's from the torrential rainstorm that somehow got through the window.
Oh, you had a rainstorm?
Well, yeah, we had a huge rainstorm. Yeah. Which, this is the first time that's ever happened. But, like, where you would sit when you're here,
right?
That table has all water on it.
And I told you not to bring beverages into the Sunbury Motor Studio, even if it was from Brewer's Outlet. I told you not to bring those beverages in.
Everything else is... I mean, the odd thing is I look at the ceiling. In the ceiling, you could tell right away if there was an issue. You could tell right away. It's their ceiling panels. So if there's any water, it would show up right away.
Quickly. Water.
Yeah. I'm guessing it came through where I have the air conditioner. Oh well. This is where being in the Sunbury Motor Studio helps. I have towels upstairs. So as you listen to yonder commercial break, espousing the incredible benefits of all our wonderful sponsors, I shall be getting a towel here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Over the last 100 years, we've seen a lot of summers come and go. Some hot, some cold, some wet, some dry. We've even witnessed the summer of love. But never the summer of nothing until now.
We wanna see you in a Kia. Sunbury Motors Kia.
It's the summer of nothing at Sunbury Motors Kia. Zero due at signing, zero security deposit, zero first payment on all 2016 Serenos and 2015 Fortes, Optima Souls, and Cadenzas during our annual Sign It and Drive It sales event.
But that's not all.
We also have 0% APR financing for up to 66 months and up to $1,500 CAMF bonus cash on 2015 Fortes, Forte Coupes, Souls, Optimas, Cadenzas, and Sedonas. With 84 new Kias to choose from, all with Kia's 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty, you'll have nothing but a fatter wallet and good times ahead this summer. Sunbury Motors Kia on the strip at Hummel's Wharf or at sunburymotors.com.
Tax and tax after leasing and low APR financing through KMS and well-qualified customers. See dealer for details.
I'll go chasing waterfalls.
Steve Jones with a little bit of a water issue in the Sunbury Motors studio.
Yeah, we're flooding. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, well. Yeah. So whatever. I cleaned it up.
So according to the Steve Jones forecast, which means when it happens to you about an hour later, it happens to us.
Right.
We have a storm headed this way. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Maybe, yeah.
All right. We'll keep an eye out on that.
Okay. Yeah, I'll have to check that out more. I've got almost all of it cleaned up here. So, well, fortunately, it's nowhere near the equipment. That was the key.
So you didn't have problems with the shorting or anything?
Although I thought you sounded better in that last sequence. On behalf of everybody, we're going to have Joe Susan on in the next half hour. Golf. Are you playing in this golf tournament?
I am not playing in this golf tournament. They felt it was not safe.
I brought a golf pro on yesterday to give you tips.
Well, it's not going to happen in 24 hours.
Well, don't accuse me of not trying to help you.
No, I never said that. I just said, you may have brought a golf pro on, which was great, but in 24 hours, I still haven't figured out or mastered that swing.
Jack Ham on Friday and Paul Alexander tomorrow, and maybe a head football coach of a Big Ten school next week. Locally. Oh, that's right. You're on vacation again next week.
Is that part of how you get the interview with that Big Ten coach? Is I have to be on vacation?
He seems to prefer it.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Very pleased to be joined by the head football coach at Bucknell, Joe Susan. Joe, welcome to the show. I know it's the thrill for you to hear Kevin's voice again.
Oh, there you go. Sorry, I hit the wrong button, coach.
It figures Kevin's hitting the wrong button.
It was strange. When Steve asked you that question, I accidentally hit the wrong button, so you couldn't answer it. Isn't that
funny? I'm aware of that. No, it's always a pleasure to hear Kevin's sweet voice.
Every day, I just feel like I'm just slogging up the river. All right. Coach, this golf tournament coming up, the importance and the significance of this, especially getting people involved the way you've been able to get them involved?
The unique thing is that what it does is it brings people together from classes that get together every year, but it also blends classes from other years that have a chance to network amongst one another. The stories change as the years go on. The touchdowns get longer. The carries get more of the yardage. But the friendships beyond distance and time, I think that's the most important thing. And obviously, we do it as a fundraiser, but we do it more from a fellowship standpoint. And we're fortunate that our alumni are loyal and have been very supportive of our program. And this is really, in the past, it's been a way to kick off the preseason. And normally we do it over a two-day period. We're trying it this year over a one-day period because we actually have a camp next week. And it'll be interesting to see the turnout. Right now I think we're in good shape in terms of the people. Not many good golfers. They don't want me anywhere near a golf course other than maybe to putt. And I get divots on a putting green, which Brian Kelly, the golf pro over there, kind of frowns at me, and I understand exactly what he's talking about.
Well, with that coming up, I want to ask you, this time of the year, what are you locked in on right now? You get into a routine and a pattern as to what you need to do to get ready as a head coach and a staff. Where are you staff-wise in your preparation for camp and then the season?
Well, fortunately, our staff stayed intact, with the exception of our operations individual, which we hired a new one, a gentleman named Tim Waite. That's a key position for us. But in terms of our staff, offensively, defensively, and special teams, we've done this before. And I think having gone through it together, it's an important thing. Right now, what the coordinators are doing are getting all the installation information together, playbook information. And I am someone who, I'll use a word, I'm pretty fanatical about getting things done on time and maybe before time. So I've had my preseason itinerary done since, let's say, April. And now what I'm working on is the practice plan specific to the first 5 days are an acclimatization period where we're in helmets for 2 days, in shells for 2 days, and then finally into pads. And what I'll work to do is get all that completed by the end of next week so that our staff can start scripting things. Eager to get the young men back. A lot of them have been on campus, which is a good thing. And the thing that the summer is we don't have a great deal of contact with them. It's an NCAA thing, so
right.
Sometimes they show up at the office, but it'll be good to get back on the field. But I'm going to try to practice what I preach and slow everything down, so give yourself some time to be totally prepared. And our staff does an outstanding job. They're not supposed to be in the office, but they're in the office, so I need some company.
Right. But your strength and conditioning coach is allowed to have contact with them, and what kind of reports have you received on that? Because players have to do some things on their own, some things your strength and conditioning coach is allowed to be with, and they're allowed to talk to you about that. When you've heard those reports, do you like the progress you're hearing?
I certainly do, with our upperclassmen, and then over the past 3 weeks with our freshmen, incoming freshmen. Part of the integration of the incoming freshmen is getting them used to the college pace. And he said that they've really come along, a very talented group, and it increases your numbers. The we've had as many as 40 on campus. It goes back and forth based on, you know, some young men are working internships, some are working summer jobs. But the more you have on campus, the better it is from a training standpoint, because they get a chance to train together. And what has happened with this summer training is it enables you to have a team come into preseason in good condition physically.
Right.
So you don't have to worry about over-conditioning. And one of the things we've studied is the NFL model of really no double sessions. And it's really paid right. off for us in terms of going into the first game with our legs underneath us and, you know, not worried about being tired. And with the way the rosters have evolved in the Patriot League, we have to be smart about how much contact we have. And I feel that our kids will hit you, and that enables us to be a little bit more intelligent about how much live contact we have to the ground tackling and scrimmage situations. But you still have to do that because there are certain positions that we're dealing with that are young.
I've always felt, and again, this is my personal observation for being around teams, is that it's during this time of the year where you find out where some leaders develop, because there's some people that have to do some things because you can't have contact. In the reports you received, have some leaders developed in your upper class group that tell you something that they'll be able to handle preseason the way you want?
Yeah, one of the young men that's really made a change in his body is Julian Davenport, who will
right.
be a junior this year. He was actually elected as a co-captain, but Remy Cassed, who is going to be a senior, is another one. And then a unique person is a young man named Abdullah Anderson, who played only 1 year of high school football. On his recruiting visit, he's 6'4", about 235. When he played last year, he actually started every game at 6'4", about 270. And they weighed him the other day at 305, and he is one of the most hardest working individuals we have on our team. He does everything extra. He moves that 305 like he moved at 275. And it's funny, when the freshmen got a peek at him, they said, "Is that a coach? He's only going to be a sophomore." So thank goodness he's only going to be a sophomore. But, you know, what I've told my players all the time, Steve, is that you don't need to be a senior to be a leader. You need to have the courage to
right.
step outside your comfort zone. And these young men understand it. And what it does, when you get leadership from the ranks, it makes the coach's job much more clean, in that we do what we do best, we coach.
Right.
And I think the message that our older players carry to the younger players is consistent. And I wrote it in an email. If you can boil it down to one rule, it's the golden rule: do unto others as you would want to have done to you. And but our rule book is a little bit deeper than that.
Of course, yeah. But it's interesting about that is that in my experience in dealing with coaches, when they've had programs, especially in their infancy, where they've had to be the combination of coach, teacher, philosopher, psychoanalyst, but also had to be the leader part of it, that added burden of being the leader part of it has slowed a program's development. It's when you get the players that buy in that then take some of that, quote, burden off of you, that then allows the program to move forward and flourish. I mean, that's only my observation. What is your experience?
I think that's true. And the more leaders you have, the better you are as a program. And when I used to create summer rooming assignments, I would look to put followers with leaders. And sometimes you have to follow before you lead. But I don't use that term. I put leaders with leaders, and we don't have any followers that either lead or get out of the way. There's no in between.
I've taken some time to talk with Penn State's defense coordinator, Bob Shoup, You know, and Bob does a lot of different things with DVDs and obviously meetings, things like that. But he also has at least a little bit of analytics in there. What I've been talking to Bob about has been some of the analytics that are important to him. We know analytics have become important in so many different sports. What's your usage of analytics, and how much freedom do your coordinators have, Joe, in their usage of analytics to get you ready for a practice or a season?
Well, obviously analytics play a big role in terms of analyzing your opponents, in terms of their tendencies across personnel, formations, down and distance, field zone. One of the things I think our coaches do a very good job with are analyzing ourselves and working to see what an opponent might be looking for from us in terms of what our tendencies are, and working to maybe change up, not necessarily break what we're doing, but maybe change up some things and do them out of a different formation, a different personnel group. And I think that's where it comes into play. The computer really helps you in that, and we're able to break things down. One of the things I think our coaches do a real good job of it starts out with matchups and how we match up individually across the board from a position standpoint versus position standpoint. And the matchups that count are the ones on the outside. You know, can our receivers be covered by man-to-man coverage, or are they going to have to play with somebody over the top? And those are the things that if they're going to play with somebody over the top, it's going to change their ability to fit people into the run game. So those things all tie together. But I think that analytics have gotten out of control to some extent because it gives us a lot more to think about and a lot more to deal with. But obviously they do pay some dividends in terms of not just scouting your opponent, but scouting yourself.
By the way, you're actually looking for a few more players to play in the golf tournament. Kevin, I assume, is out.
Oh, if he golfs like I do, yes.
I tell you one quick story, and since it's July, I feel like I have an extra 60 seconds with you than usual. Kevin and I were playing in a charity golf tournament.
Oh, no.
It was about 3 years ago. Oh, not. Oh, I actually have two stories. I forgot about the bridge one. We're playing at Susquehanna Valley Country Club. It's the straightest drive hole. So they have a string in the middle of the fairway. He lines up. He's right-handed. He lines up pointed toward the Dunkin' Donuts. And all of us looked at him and said, "What are you doing?" He goes, "I'm going to hit the ball." He hits the ball out. Goes out over the fourth fairway, comes back over the fifth, hits, rolls 6 inches from the string. That was the straightest drive.
Joe, I was just playing it left to right. I mean, you know.
I did that once in a tournament, an alumni tournament at Rutgers, where I'm a lefty, and I put it down the left field line. And it hit a telephone pole, and it bounced onto the green. And the foursome that I was with were looking at me sideways, and I had planned it that way.
Yep. And then finally, Kevin, a year ago, on a par 3 hole with a creek on the left, wound up and hit one off the railing of the bridge and landed 10 feet behind him.
It was not on the green, by the way. That was not the green.
You gotta watch out for drinking coffee, Kevin. That's it.
Yeah, that's what it was.
All I know is that there were three other people playing in the same group with them, me among them, covering up certain areas. All right. just out of safety, safe for the future. Joe, it is always an absolute pleasure. You know that. Can't wait to talk to you again. Best of luck with the golf tournament, and do a good job of sorting out the stories as to where they stand now.
All right. I look forward to speaking with you guys maybe a little bit later in preseason. Thank you, Steve.
Sounds great, Coach.
Take care, coach.
Joe Susan, the outstanding head coach at Bucknell. Boy, have they been on a roll as a program. And we have loved very much chronicling the progress and the development of Joe Susan's Bucknell football program. That has been fun to see it incrementally improve, to see the where they are now. We'll come back. At $46 million a year, you should be able to make a decision. I wonder who makes that kind of money. On News Radio 1070 WKOK. Special guest in the studio.
You have a special guest in the studio?
A little dog.
Oh.
Little dog came down. Yes. Must be having a thunderstorm.
I was going to say, is there a reason little dog came down?
No, I have to hold her sometimes when she shakes like a leaf when there's a thunderstorm. And when it comes to moments of danger, I'm always the choice.
you're the protector of choice. I see.
Yes, I'm always the choice. And she is shaking like an absolute leaf, aren't you? Yes, you are. It's okay. It's all right. See, this is the gentle side of me that people didn't know about.
I'm not even sure I did.
Excuse me, we play a round of golf. I'm very encouraging to the other partners.
You are encouraging to everyone else.
Yeah, well, you know.
Yeah, so I think you are. I think you do have a thunderstorm coming. As a matter of fact, we have some thunderstorms now entering the Union County.
Yeah, vicinity. I mean, it's coming in now. It's here now.
There's a line of thunderstorms right now that goes from...
Oh, I mean, I could have told you. I mean, she's... shaking like a leaf here. I mean, I'm just holding her as we go.
There's a line from Sullivan County through State College down into, well, let's see, what would be southeast of or southwest of State College?
What's that? You need a bath, man.
You're talking to me or the dog?
Well, I probably speak on behalf of the rest of the company when it comes to you.
I better ask.
Be nice if maybe on behalf of the company you kind of cleaned up a little bit.
Well, the good news is you have running water in the Sunbury Motors studio now, so there you go. You can take care of it.
Yeah, tell me about it. I got running water, all right. My goodness. So, you okay there? You all right? Yes, you are. Yes, you're sweet. You pant on the air.
I was going to say, that's not me panting, by the way.
That's Kevin after walking down the hall.
There was a day where that may have been true, though.
All right. Now, in the next hour, what I want to talk about, the Brady thing. This has become going from the sublime to the ridiculous. I don't understand what is taking so long in this. It's you now have a suspension for a quarterback. And again, I am no Patriots fan, as you know. My only link to the Patriots was when Gil Santos was the play-by-play voice, and everyone knows how I feel about Gil. In fact, you know, we're going to try and get Gil on the show. In fact, we're working on getting Gil on the show in the fall, and also Mike Emmerich, Doc Emmerich. Right around the end of NHL training camp, it looks like we're going to get Doc Emmerich on the show. And we're still, yes, and we are going back to the Joe Buck well one more time. But I want to talk about what the heck is taking so long, because... with all due respect, the $5 million Wells report had approximately $4,999,012 spent on it too much.